This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you, Keith, for the news. You are listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes on this Tuesday, the 12th of November, 2019. Richard Bradbury is feeling under the weather today, so you are stuck with me, Audrey Raj,
Frida Liu,
Arvind Raj,
all the way until 1 p.m. Our producer, of course, is Christine Wong. Say hello, Christine.
Hello.
And we have quite a few stories for you today. We will be discussing Alibaba's sales, this ridiculous amount of sales for Singles Day. You know, just how ridiculous is this amount? How crazy are we talking about here? Are we talking about like flat earth kind of crazy? Well, Frida will have the details for us. We're also going to be talking about social enterprises and how they can depend on people power. Mm-hmm. Arvind has that story for you. Sounds like an interesting one. But of course, our main story of the day is about if we need tech to upkeep friends today. Now, this is a story that
you're besotted with.
Yes, I guess you could. I guess you could say that because yesterday we ran a story about how some people are using software to manage their friendships. I think the term is called personal CRM. We'll get into the details in just a bit. But what we're talking about today is using productivity tools to manage your friendships or your relationships. Do you use any work-related productivity tools in your personal life? Get in touch with us. Tell us if you do use them, or if you don't, the number is 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp. You can also reach us on Twitter and on InstaStory at BFM Radio. We already have some responses. We'll get to that in just a minute. But so this story was actually like a follow-on from our BizBytes second story yesterday, where we spoke about how there are, there are a bunch of new startups that have started introducing personal CRMs, you know, customer relationship management tools that you can use in your personal life. So it's basically, some of them are just basically spreadsheets where you can input your friends' names and, you know, when you last met them, their birthdays and things like that. And then you'll receive a ping when it's time for you to meet up with this person again, or when it's their birthday. There are other startups that are actually providing services like they'll tell you it's a friend's birthday and also point you towards an e-commerce site where you can actually buy your friend a birthday gift as well, you know, and suggest some gifts that might work for that person. Mm-hmm. There are other tools that will help you kind of gauge just how meaningful that friendship is, or how that friend makes you feel, whether that person is toxic for you, whether that person is exhausting for you, or if the person is positive and uplifting for you as
five
well.
5-star rating.
Yeah, things like that. And you can even, they've even gamified these tools by giving you like berries and stars every time you do something good for your friend, you know, to kind of upkeep that friendship. So our question for today is, you know, do we really need tech to upkeep our friends? You know, has it come to that point where we, you know, we don't remember birthdays anymore, we don't remember phone numbers anymore, we need tech to do all of this?
I don't think anyone remembered birthdays or phone numbers, yeah, but birthdays, I don't think anyone remembered that many until Facebook showed up. That was a cheat sheet. I think people got maybe 5, 6, or 7 of their closest friends, I think, I don't know, but I think once Facebook showed up, then everyone started to pay attention to everyone else's birthdays.
Which is good.
I don't think the cheat sheet is wrong when it comes to distant friends, or maybe like relatives that you don't meet often, or friends that you don't meet often, or people you don't keep in touch with and you want to remember certain things about them. Like, let's say they don't eat a certain thing, or they don't like a certain thing and you're scared you're going to forget, then you just note it down somewhere in like a paper or something. You do the same thing in your head. The only difference is now you're putting it into text. I don't think using apps is that wrong, but if you do it for close friends or people that you meet on a daily basis, acquaintances or companions and stuff, then it becomes a bit creepy because, you know, there's like fine line between like being friendly and being slightly like psychotic.
Yes. Okay. So I know for me, the most social person I know, and I call her super social, is of course Frida Liu. But before we get into how Frida Liu manages her I meet 20 friends a week schedule, I want to talk to you about like why this story came on my radar. I mentioned it yesterday that I read an article back in July or August, and I actually pulled that article up. And so let me tell you why I find this kind of weird, this using tech to upkeep your friends. Now, this is an article from NPR, and this is how, I'm going to start with how the article ends. It says, the two sat on the porch for 3 hours just catching up. A moment of deep connection brought to you by Excel. Like Excel, the spreadsheet, okay? But anyway, let me just start. This is how the article goes. So Vanessa Nunes was craving close friendship. She had a lot of surface-level relationships with different people, but it never really went deeper than that. And she wanted deeper, meaningful relationships. In search for better connections, she started a spreadsheet. After all, she worked in the financial industry and uses Microsoft Excel all the time at her job, so why not use it for her personal life? The first thing she did, she brainstormed all of the people that meant something to her and she wrote them down. Then she narrowed the list to about 25 people who she felt had the same level of interest in maintaining their friendship. She entered those names into the Excel spreadsheet and began to track how often she saw each one of them. Mm. And then as months went by, you know, she started to see trends like, oh, I haven't seen my friend Tiffany since February. So she would call Tiffany and, you know, then like met up with Tiffany, and then that friendship got closer as well. Now, she admits that a friendship spreadsheet is a bit unconventional, but she says there's a point to her data collection. I'm just really trying to be intentional with my time and with my relationships. This has worked wonders for me with helping me achieve that. And she says maybe you're allergic to spreadsheets, but getting a little bit more organized about your friendships might lead to better connections. Even a little bit of organization helps keep your friendships from running on autopilot, because having friends or keeping friends requires effort. So she says, you know, one of the things that you can try is to list topics of conversation before you see a friend, sorting out all the things that you want to discuss, like, you know, how is your sister? Wasn't she ill? You know, how did your exams go? How did your kids' exams go? And things like that. And then, of course, there are other things that you want to take note of, like if you saw a funny YouTube video, you know, and to put that down so that you can share that with your friend, because you might tell yourself, oh, you know, I must tell Tiffany when I see her. But, you know, when the time comes,
you forget.
You might not remember to do that. So she says, like, this level of organization, of course, doesn't mean that you have to stick to your list. You can deviate, but it's there if you need it. So there isn't a point where you're just seated there and drawing blank, just the both of you, no, saying nothing in this, that. Mm. Pin drop silence, right? Okay. So she says that is how it's helped her, and she's managed to then introduce the power of automation by using Google Calendar and things like that to kind of prompt her to, you know, meet up with friends. So she's kind of like connected Excel to Google Calendars and automated that form of, you know, her friendship. And now, you know, like she has meaningful friends that, you know, she knows when she can contact and things like that. So it's kind of worked for her. And so she says, like, if you want to build strong friendships, you've got to take notes. You've got to whip out your notepad and actually take notes. But for me, I'm like,
okay.
Yeah.
When I read her, okay, this is my perception. I feel that this is an introverted person, right? And for introverts, it is an effort to make friends, right? It is, you know, it's just not a natural thing, right? And we have to realize that some people are like that, right? So maybe that tool really helps for her. And I can get where, I know you're looking at time, because I really have a point here, because one of the things that I read years, and so, yeah, she probably needs a tool like that, right? For me, my tool is Google Calendar, when am I free and I meet people. A lot of, in the early days when we had name cards, when we used name cards, people are very good at like, okay, meet this person, they have a conversation. They start talking up, asking about their kids and all that, right? And they write this information in the back of the card. Mm. So, you know, that was how it used to be done, before all this technology. And for me, when I meet with people, especially like here in BFM, right, you meet a lot of people, and a lot of people that I've interviewed have become friends, right? And people that I like. And it's not about work or anything like that, but sometimes, it, you know, it translates into that. And they're just people that I want to keep in my life. Whether it's a conscious effort, I haven't met you for 3 months, I haven't met you for 6 months, I don't do that. It is good if I have that kind of tool, but it's always like, because everybody's always so busy and all that, so you really sometimes have to make time to schedule an appointment. I know, like this month, there are people that I've met who I want to catch up with, and it was a 2-week calendar.
So you have to make appointment. I mean, like someone has to make an appointment with Frida Liu 2 weeks in advance in order to meet her.
Vice versa. But you know, everybody's also caught up with other things, right? And I wanted to have that uninterrupted time. So like, what's a good time? I don't want to touch, you know, just sort of touch and go. I met you, but I didn't get to connect with you. So this is sort of
thing. Do you ever do those impromptu ones?
I do. Like, hey, oh, it's free. And then someone says, are you, what are you doing tonight? Okay. and we'll go for a drink.
Just meet up.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right. You know, well, tell us what you think. Do you need a spreadsheet? Do you need an app? Do you need some form of productivity tool to manage your friendships or relationships? Or do you use productivity tools to manage your personal life in other ways? Get in touch with us 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp and on Twitter at BFM Radio, also on InstaStory at BFM Radio. But first, here's Basement with Are You The One? Enterprise Biz Bytes will be right back. BFM 89.9.
Begin Free Malaysia. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
This is Enterprise Biz Bytes with Frida, Arvin and Audrey. We are talking about productivity tools. Do you use them to manage your friendships? Do you need tech to upkeep your friends? Get in touch with us 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp. At BFM Radio is our handle on InstaStory and on Twitter. Just looking at some of the responses that have already come in. There's one here on InstaStory from Chia Sun Seng who says, Money Lover app to track my personal expenses daily and Google Keep for notes. Great stuff. There's another one here from Searching who says, I should, I guess. And another one here from Geraldine who says, kind of. All right, but no, maybe get specific on, you know, the kind of productivity tools that you use to manage your personal life. I know we've got more responses on WhatsApp, Frida.
All right, so this is just Eugene. He said, I remember all my friends' birthdays, which is like two of them. be my friends. But no, having a friend is forged by a bond. If you're talking about your close friends, you really don't need tech to upkeep your relationships. If they really meant a lot to you, remember them and what they're like. Yes, you may forget a few, but imperfections are what makes our relationship meaningful. Upkeeping a vast pool of acquaintances with points of interest, however, sounds great. Ro here says, using tech for relationships, I like this. It's like lowering a warm bottom on a cold toilet seat.
What?
You can do it, but it's not pleasant.
Okay.
Sure, they can help, but as a substitute, it's a poor one. Hug, handshake, eye contact, invisible laughter, beat a LOL any day. Okay. Rusi Hania says, friendship should be unstructured. Using Excel is just so structured. Calendar is fine to manage schedules, but analyzing your friendships using Excel, that's what he said. Okay, Maggie Bessie used to remember numerous telephone numbers through memory. Now with modern apps, I can store hundreds of telephone numbers, but guess what? I can't remember who sent the contacts. Ah, can't remember the face, the name of the list, even though their company is stated in the apps. I worry when we start to over-rely on gadgets, could this recent increase in forgetfulness, even the younger generation, be caused by lack of exercising our brains? Last one from Benji. For my friends, I don't see often due to us living a life or geography, but when we meet up and the friendship, closeness, and feeling is as if you're resuming from a pause button on the best friends. I only reserve really working to maintain friendships with people with benefits or networking.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I guess
strong opinions.
So, but you know, Arv, I think we're both on the same page here. You know, we don't see any harm in using tech or these apps or spreadsheets to kind of like just maintain a relationship.
Some friendships.
Friendships,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I think, so again, if you're seeing the person on a daily basis or if it's someone you've known for a long, long time, if it's a close friend, then don't do it because you should know them.
Yeah.
Even if you don't know some things about them, it's okay to learn about it organically or forget about it organically.
And ask again.
Because they won't take you wrongly. But I'm thinking about, from like a more business perspective, people who are in insurance agents, people who are in sales, people who are maybe even supervisors of a team or managers of a team who are working with a lot of other people, it helps to maybe put down their interests, their birthdays, the stuff they like or they don't like, stuff that's going on in their family, stuff that they're building on, maybe into some sort of like notepad or something to help them remember, because it could build their relationships with those people. Again, and then coming back to, you know, how it's done, if you are doing it in Excel sheets or having like some sort of app to do it professionally, it's fine. But if you are taking down notes in like a dirty notepad like Joaquin Phoenix in The Joker, then there's something wrong. You know, that's why I said there's a fine line between like doing it professionally and being psychotic. But it's how you remember things about these people, because again, it shows effort. If you are not as close to these people, if you're friends on like a surface level, or you've known them for not as long as your other friends, then it shows effort that you are taking to put their interests and their life into a spreadsheet of your own.
Okay, just one comment from WhatsApp. So I think if we stop relying on apps and phone less, we will do better with relationships, which is true. You know what I mean? We've been so, you know, we just say hello through our technology right now, right? Send an e-card or what have you. But you see, okay, that point, you know, earlier on I was alluding about how in the early days, you know, people write the back of cards, and I will make a point to remember these things as people. And a lot of my friendships also probably started out as work friendships, and then it became friends because I made a point to know about their family. I made a point to know about that. And then, of course, you want to do business with people you like, right? So then I find that that has helped. And I'm very, you know, and of course, you know, I like to know about you. You can know about me and, you know, that kind of openness. So I always, simple things that I do, right? I mean, tips. I put a 10 on everyone's forehead. Everyone I meet, I put a 10 on them. I put a smile and talk to them and treat them like a 10, right? And that's a simple thing. And get to know a person. Just generally, I don't want to know, you know, work will come. The conversation about work will come inevitably, right? But you just want to know a person on that level. And then after that, people will just sort of bond with you, connect with you, whether they're good friends or whether we go drinking or that sort of thing. That's you know, irrelevant. But you want to have friendships that if you go into business, you go to, you know, when you do your interviews with people, it's people you like, right? I mean, then you have a better conversation anyway, right?
So. All right, so now we've heard from our resident super social expert, Frida Liu. Let's listen to what another expert on friendship has to say. This is Shasta Nelson, and she is the founder and CEO of GirlfriendCircles.com. And this is actually a clip that Christine pulled out from a TEDx talk from November 2017, and she's talking about friendtimacy.
I went and I compiled, like when you look at all the social scientists and what they're studying when they look at what bonds any two people, who we can fight in, what makes two people best friends, what makes for a healthy marriage, what builds trust, three common denominators emerge. And it's like a formula. You have to have all three. You can't just have two of them. The first requirement is the letter P, and that is positivity. When we want friendship, we want the reward, we want joy, we want to feel good, we want, this comes from smiles and laughter and kindness and acts of service and empathy and validation, gratitude, affirmation, all those things that leave us feeling accepted. The second requirement, the letter C, is consistency. Because we've all met people we enjoy and are positive and have fun being around, but if we never saw them again, that wasn't a friendship. Consistency is the hours logged. It's the history we build. It's the time we spend together. This is where we make rituals and we create patterns. We increase our interactions. This is where we get to know each other. This is actually, as we put consistent time in together, this is actually how we build consistent, we start knowing what consistent behavior looks like. This is where trust happens, this one. This is actually the one that made friendship feel automatic when we were kids because school was consistent. And this is the one we still end up building relationships at work, at school, at church, and associations because our consistency is automatic. You wouldn't pick those people to be your friends if you had a lineup of 20 other options. You're friends with them because you have consistency with them and you end up building these other two components in. A lot of us have relationships that we enjoy, the positivity, and that we do things on a regular basis. But without the third requirement, it's not a healthy friendship. And the third requirement is vulnerability. Vulnerability is where we share, where we reveal, where we let people in and let more of us be seen. Because at the end of the day, for us, we want to feel loved, and we only feel loved if we feel known, and we can only feel known if we actually share ourselves.
That, of course, was Shasta, and that was taken from a TED Talk back in November 2017 on friendtimacy. Shasta Nelson, founder and CEO of GirlfriendCircles.com. So I guess if you go by what Shasta just said there, consistency, I guess you get to build consistency with these productivity tools, these personal CRMs and these apps and spreadsheets, because, you know, you get a ping whenever you've not seen a person for a couple of weeks and you need to, like, just, you know, drop them a text or go meet up with them. Consistency is there. Positivity, of course, I guess, gets built the more you see these people. And, you know, if they're good for you, of course. I mean, if they're quite negative and toxic, then why form that friendship to begin with, right? But vulnerability, you know, do these apps and these tools, will that, I don't think that's going to affect vulnerability, right?
No, but then at the end, she said that, you know, consistency, and you can make friends if you share yourself or you share your info with other people. And I was talking to Christine off air, and she mentioned something interesting when she said that how often would you share things about yourself if you knew the other person is writing it down in like a notepad or putting it down in like an Excel sheet, which is interesting because I don't know if I would do it because I'm sharing stuff with you for you to remember or, you know, for it to be not unrecorded, but just to... off the record. It's for the moment. It's not for you to go home. If I knew you're going home and putting it down in a WordPad Excel sheet, then it's sort of... the relationship becomes a bit weird.
Okay, so and just to that point about vulnerability, right? I mean, I was talking about sharing, like, you know, you be open to sharing yourself as well. Sometimes we have too many barriers, so we don't want to know people on a heart-to-heart level, and I think that's a problem in life, you know, when we're not just open. I mean, we all have our challenges, and people connect with us when we know that, okay, you've gone through something that I've gone through. So yesterday I was just sharing with you guys earlier, and I met up with this lady which I met about a month ago, and really liked her, and then we just caught up. And she's a career coach, and just sitting down, just talking about things. And then she says, we were just talking, and then she opens up her little notebook, and she puts Frida, and she mind maps our conversation. And it was just like, I just thought it was so cute. You know, it's like, and I didn't feel anything at all. Just like, you know what? When I picture this, and I meet someone, and you said something, and the person says something, it's like, hey, maybe these, you know, so she acts like a connector. She just sort of sees a picture about a person. Yeah. So that was where she was coming from, you know, like we were just talking so much, you know.
See, that I wouldn't mind. Like if I was talking to someone and they were mapping, like mind mapping me in front of, you know, while I'm there, it's fine. Like I'm completely okay with it because they're just helping themselves remember or know me on a better level or sort of see me in a way they want to see me or try to understand me better. So it's okay. But doing it behind my back or doing it without me knowing is where I think a lot of people get a bit creeped out. I don't know.
I would not be comfortable with someone mind mapping whatever I had to say because I'd be more conscious about what is coming out of my mouth, right? But like, yeah, tell us what you think. Get in on the conversation. 018-789-8899 at BFM Radio is our handle on Twitter and on Insta Story. We've got more messages coming up. But first, here's The Jam with Just Who Is the 5 o'clock Hero on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.